Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Yud Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, 12 lines from the bottom, Umechaimi Omar. Yesterday, in order for the Gemara to be able to help us understand the statement of the Mishnah that when are you chayif in Azikin, the Mishnah made a statement is by something that there's no Mi'ila, which is another way of saying that it's not Hegdish. And the Gemara's question, therefore, was if what the Gemara, what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is that something which is not Hegdish, that's where there's a din of Nazikin, because if it's Hegdish, as we quoted the Gemara, the Torah says, Shor Eyu, and we learn from that, Shor Eyu, Veloy Shor Shal Hegdish, why did the Mishnah have to express itself in that way? Why couldn't the Mishnah have expressed itself by just saying Hegdish? So the Gemara explained, because our Mishnah is following the opinion of Yosef Glili. Rav Yosef Glili's opinion actually is that Hegdish, Kachem Kalim, is considered Mamon Bailim. And the reason, and the place Rav Yosef teaches us that Halacha, said the Gemara, is in the case where somebody made a Shavuos B'Kodim on Kachem Kalim, where Halacha is if you make a Shavuos B'Kodim on Kachem Kalim, it's considered as if you made a Shavuos B'Kodim, where all the halachas are applicable. Seemingly, teaching us that Kachem Kalim are considered the property of the owner. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Or Michayim? So the Gemara said at the end of our previous year that halacha is only until the shechita of the carbon. But after the shechita of the carbon, even Rav Yosef Glili would agree that even Kachem Kalim are not considered the property of the Balaam. Ask the Gemara, O Michayim, Mi Omar, is it true that besides for the halacha of Shavuos B'Kodim, which we just described, and all other circumstances, Rav Yosef holds that Kachem Kalim Mamon Balaam, Vatnan? The Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Maaseh Sheni, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Bechor. A Bechor is the firstborn animal, firstborn male animal. That's Kachem Kalim. The Kohanim may sell that animal, Tam, when it's without a mum, Chai. And when it's alive, and they have to wait until it becomes a Balas mum, and then they may eat it. Then, however, if it was slaughtered before it became Bal mum, then it has the status of Kachim, Shenishchtu B'chutz, Kachim that were shechted outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which are very serious Isser HaNor, or Bamum. But once the animal became a Bamum, it could be sold Chai, whether it's already alive or Shochet. And the person could eat it, the buyer could eat it, because once it becomes Bamum, it loses the dinner of Bechor, says the Gemara, Mekachim Bas Isha, and a Bechor, under all circumstances, could be used to affect the Kedusha Isha. This halacha, so presumably, what is the basis of this halacha? The basis of this halacha is because the Bechor is Mam and Balam. It belongs to its owner. And since it belongs to its owner, so as we learned Masechta Kedushin, one of the most fundamental halachas of Masechta Kedushin was that the object, the item that you use to be Mekadesh Isha must belong to you. So this is considered something that belongs to you that can be used to be Mekadesh Isha. And that says the Gemara. Everything that we just discussed was only about a Bechor B'zman Hazeh, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The Kivin D'Loi Chazi L'Krova, it may not be brought on from carbon. Islo L'Kahanim Zechir B'Gavei, it becomes the property of the Kohen. And the Brisker Rav makes a very strong observation. We believe, that's why I understand what the Brisker Rav is asking, we believe Mashiach's coming any moment. If Mashiach's coming any moment, in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to be able to bring that carbon, that Bechor is a carbon. So why is it considered Mum and Koyim? Says the Brisker Rav, it's not that this animal is a Bechor. What it means is that there's obligation, the obligation for me to bring it as a carbon makes it Hegdish. And if at this point there is no Beis HaMikdash, since at this point that there is no Beis HaMikdash, so it's not designated as a carbon. Since at this point it's not designated as a carbon, the halacha therefore teaches us that it's the mum and bailam. But what is clearly the indication here? That's only because it's bezman hazeh, as we just discussed. So there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no karbonos. Al bezman shebeis HaMikdash kaim, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, the chazi la'krova, where it was supposed to be brought as a carbon, loy, it cannot be used to affect the kedushin. Isn't this clearly an indication that b'char, which we said a few moments ago, is kachim kalim, but if it can be used as a carbon, everybody will agree that it cannot be, it's not considered mum and balim. So how can we say that Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion is that we get, that it's considered as long kachim kalim, as long as they're alive, they're considered mum and balim? Says the Gemara, who the Gemara now comes to prove that when the Gemara is saying this, it's going even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili. Because, says the Gemara, Esei Rav L'Rav Nachman, the pasuk that we quoted before, the pasuk that speaks about the Shavuos HaBikadon, that tells us, again, to review the halacha of Shavuos HaBikadon, that if I approach somebody and says, you owe me something, and you have something in mind, and he falsely swears that he doesn't, and then when he admits that he swears falsely, he has to bring in a sham me'ilis, and he has to pay me a keren v'chaymish. And the pasuk says, Omal amal b'Hashem, Rabbis kachim kalim, shem amani, that if the discussion was over a kachim kalim, Rabbi Yosef Glili says that it's considered as if the discussion was over something which wasn't a carbon. Now the pasuk, as we just said, says that what is the halacha if somebody admits? So the pasuk says, "Shama yovil Hashem." So he has to bring a carbon asham. So obviously the pasuk is speaking about the time when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. So because if the Beis HaMikdash wasn't standing, the Torah wouldn't be telling us, well, you have to bring a carbon. And yet Rabbi Yossi is holding that it's considered mamam balim. So isn't this a clear indication that even according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, this question that this he's going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili, because if he wasn't following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili, then the Rabbanan hold the kachim kalim is always mum and hegdish. And what do we see here? That even in the time that the Beis HaMikdash is standing, the kachim kalim are not considered mum and balim, only in one very specific, only regarding one specific halacha, and that is regarding the halacha of Shavuos HaBikadon. Umeshana Ravina, and Ravina answers, we're speaking about Becha B'chutz Laretz, we're talking about the Rabbi Yosef Glili that says the Kachim Kalim is Mamim Balim, not limited to Shavuos HaBikadon, speaking about even when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, but Becha B'chutz Laretz. But leave it to Rabbi Shimon, Dama Rabbi Shimon teaches us in Masechta Tumura Daf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph, in Ba'at Tumimim, if people brought their Bechor to Eretz Yisrael, Yikrivu. What does that mean? In Ba'at, if somebody brought it, then the halacha is in, it should be brought already as a carbon. L'chatchila, if you have a Bechor in Chutz Laretz, you should just leave it there. And as Rashi explains, wait till it becomes about Mum. And once it becomes about Mum, then anybody could eat it. And Rashi goes on to say that the Mishnah over there explains that there's a difference between a Bechor and all other Kachim. By Bechor, if we leave it in Chutz Laretz and it becomes a Balmum, then anybody could eat it. Other Kachim, we have a problem. Even if they become Balmum, we have to redeem them and bring a different carbon. And therefore, since we're ultimately going to have to bring a carbon anyway, the halacha is you could bring the original animal that was designated as a carbon in Chutz Laretz. Why does Rav Shimon have this unique halacha that a Bechor in Chutz Laretz Rav Shimon Gamliel says should be left there. So says the Rashba that the Bechor in Chutz Laretz is a weaker level of Kedusha. Since it has a weaker level of Kedusha, that's why as soon there's no requirement to bring it to the Kohen. And the Brisker Rav explains that in very, very much as he explained earlier, as we said earlier, the Bechor's Kedusha is very, very much connected, says the Brisker Rav, to its being brought on the Mizbeach. This Bechor is not being brought on the Mizbeach. Since the Bechor was not meant to be brought on the Mizbeach under normal circumstances, because it's Chutz Laretz, so that lowers the level of Kedusha of that Bechor. Now says the Gemara, Vim Isa, the Chiyam Rabbi Yosef Galili, the when Rabbi Yosef Galili say that Kachem Kalim is considered Mam and Baal Mechayim, and it's not limited to the Halakha of Shavuos Pekodim, but rather, in all situations, considered Mam and Baalim. The Chacham that disagree will hold that it's Kachem Kalim is always considered Mam and Gevaya. So why do we have to say that Rabbi Yosef Galili is speaking about Bechor B'chutz Laretz to help us understand why you can't use a Bechor to be Mekadosh Isha? Lishni ha Rabbi Yosef Galili ha Rabbanan. Why don't we just say that the Brice that says that it could be considered Bezman Beis Hamikdash Mam Kanim is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Galili, and the other Brice is following the opinion of the Rabbanan. The fact that Ravina didn't say that is obvious because he holds Rabbi Yosef Galili also holds that it's only considered Mam and Baalim strictly for the Halacha of Shavuos B'Kodin. That's where it's considered Mam and Baalim because the Torah makes a special limud, a special lesson to teach us that so is the Halacha. So when we say that our Mishnah is saying the wording, as we said at the beginning, Shir, She'en B'Mila, because it wants to follow the opinion of Yosef Galili that holds Kachem Kalim, Mam and Baalim, that's not true. Rabbi Yosef Galili agrees that Kachem is not Mam and Baalim. Says the Gemara, Matnas Kuna Kamrit, you're asking for Matnas Kuna. Shani Matnas Kuna, when we speak about Matnas Kuna, the Kivin de Kazachim is Shukhan Zoya Kazachim. He's saying a very interesting halacha. We've been explaining our entire Shir that what's special about a Bechor, or what is the point that we're trying to make when we speak about a Bechor? The point we're trying to make about when we speak about a Bechor is that it's like Shlomim, it's Kachem Kalim. But truthfully, it is fundamentally different than than Shlomim. A Shlomim is Kachem Kalim because I chose to designate this animal as a carbon. Bechor is Kadosh because Min HaShemayim, the moment the animal was born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated and said that this animal should be a carbon, should be Bechor, should have Kedusha. So Bechor is different than all other Kachem Kalim. In other words, normal Kachem Kalim, Rabbi Yosef Galili holds, is Mam and Baalim until we do the Shechita, regarding all aspects. Bechor, because it's a Matnas Kuna, it's different. There's a very interesting, so what happens if somebody has a Bechor Bezman Hazeh? The halacha is that you wait, the owner has to keep it a little while, and then the Shulchan Aruch in Yerudei Simen Shin Vav Sif Dalet tells us that you give it to the Kohen. And what does the Kohen have to do? The Kohen has to hold on to it until it becomes a Balmum, and at that point he could shecht it and eat it. And the Shulchan Aruch says, if the Kohen refuses to accept this Bechor, saying, what am I going to do with this animal? What am I going to do with it until it becomes a Balmum? Says the Gemara, Ein Rishoy, the Kohen may not refuse. Mnei, says the Shulchan Aruch, Shenira k'mavaz matnas kuna. As we just discussed, the Bechor represents a matnas kuhuna that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives to the Kohen. Refusing it is a bezoyin. However, the Cheshuk Echemed makes a very interesting point. He says that if the Kohen, in the Pesach Tshuva, quotes this, the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Chavis Yor, that if the Kohen says, I live in a small house, I live in a small apartment, I don't have where to raise this animal, then refusing to take it is not considered a being mevaza the b'chayra. Darach HaShulchan says that the right thing to do is to give it to a kohen who actually has a place to keep it. If the kohen doesn't have a place to keep it, the kohen can refuse it. But, says the Chishuk Yechemin, related to Masechta Baba Kama, that if the shor, the b'char that's being given, because the halacha is, the owner, the Shulchan Aruch says, we're going to learn this in Mitzvah Shem and Masechta B'chayris, should hold on to this animal for 30 days. For the first 30 days, the owner should hold on to the animal, and after 30 days, that's when he'll give it to the kohen. But let's say this animal during those 30 days has been proven to be a mazik. Once we know that this animal is a mazik, says the Chishuk Yechemin, it's no different than the case of that the Pesach Tshuva says, where the kohen says, I have nowhere to keep this animal, to raise this animal. The kohen could also say, this animal is a mazik, and since this animal is a mazik, I have no ability to take it, and refusing to take it would not be considered an aveira. Gufa. So the Gemara goes into this halacha that we've just been discussing about Shavuos HaBikadon and Kachim Kalim. It says, the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Nefesh Kisechta Mol Mol Ba'Hashem. It's interesting to point out that typically when the Gemara comes to analyze a brisa that we've already mentioned, the brisa uses the word omamar. Here the Gemara says gufa. Says the Gemara, says the Sefer Yovin Shmua, why does the Gemara use the word gufa here, not omamar? Says the Yovin Shmua, that here the Gemara is going to bring parts of the brisa that haven't been brought in the Gemara yet. When does the Gemara use the words omamar? When the Brar is coming to analyze words of the Brisa that have already been quoted, and omamar, we're now coming to explain those words. But in a situation where the purpose of the Gemara is to bring the Brisa that we haven't yet learned, there we use gufa. The Gemara uses the words gufa. So as we said, the Pasuk says, by Shavuos HaBikadon, Nefesh Kisechta Mal Mal Ba'Hashem, L'Rabbis Kachim Kalim, Shememane, that considered the property of the kohen, of the owner, Divrei Rabbi Yosef Galili, and a subject to the halachas of Shavuos HaBikadon. Ben Azayama, the rabbis says Shlomim. And we're going to soon see what is he saying. Shlomim is Kachim Kalim. Abba Yosef ben Destoy Omer, Loi Omer ben Azay El B'Bukha B'Vad. And now the Gemara begins to examine what does he mean. Omer Mar, Ben Azay Omer, the rabbis says Shlomim. That Shlomim, there's a din of Shavuos HaBikadon. Lemute Mai, what is meant with this statement? Ilam lamuti bechor, to tell me that bechor is in chutz l'aretz is not sinaman and balam, says the Gemara, difficult to understand. Hashta umash shlamim shetun and smicha. When you bring the carbon shlamim, you have to go smicha. You have to bring the sochim. You have to do tenufas chaz v'shoit. Still, you're saying that amrit mam and balam, who even though it has all of these elements of a carbon, was saying it has the halacha of mum and balim. So bechor, that when you bring the bechor as a carbon, all of these halachas don't apply. Still, Mabaye says the Gemara, is there a question that it should be considered more kadosh than a shlomim? Says the Gemara, Elam Rabbi Yochanan, lemuti maisa, that maisa behema, we have to take off every year the tenth of every new animal, that tell us that even though it's kachim kalim, that is not mam balam. To the Tanya, as there's a brisa that teaches that. The Torah says, b'bechor nemar. The Torah says, by b'chor, that ap b'chor shor, or b'chor kesev, or b'chor eiz, lo sif de kodeshem. The Torah is teaching us that if we're being poida b'chor, if we're redeeming an animal which is b'chor, it has to be treated as with a certain level of kedusha. It may not be sold in the meat market. It may not be weighed on a scale. Nimkar tam chai. It could be sold, however, when it's not about mum and life. And as we said earlier, what will be done then is that it's brought to the Beis HaMikdash and it's brought as a carbon. If it was shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash before it became Balmum, so as we said also earlier in our shir, that falls into the category of kachim sheshacht b'chutz, and the halach is kachim sheshacht b'chutz are also b'anah. Balmum, if the b'chah becomes Balmum, it may be sold chai, when it's alive, shacht, when it's already slaughtered, but b'maisen them lo yigal. And what do we learn from these words? That the Torah says, lo yigal, eid nimka lo chayv, lo shacht, lo tam, lo b'mumum. So, a meiser has a higher level of kedusha. It may never be sold. And that's why Ben Ezra is suggesting that it's not considered mumun balam. Says the Gemara, Ravina masna sefer. Ravina learns this regarding what the end of the Braisa said. The end of the Braisa says, Abba Yosef ben Destoy Oimer, Leomer ben Azai el Bechar Belvad, that only Bechar is considered Mamun Balam. What was meant with that? Lemute Mai, Ilamete Shlomim. If we're going to say that he's saying that Shlomim are not considered Mamun Balam, so he finds it difficult to understand. Hashtu Ma Bechar Shekodesh Merechem. If a Bechar has its Kedusha from when the moment it's born, we consider it Mamainahu Mamun Balam, Shlomim, which is something that is a man-made Kedusha. You were Magdish the carbon, Mabaya, that it should be Mamun Balam. And I saw that the Rosh, Taisus Rosh, points out, obviously the previous opinion did not consider, because the previous opinion said that Shlomim were more Kaddish than Bechar. So he said there's obviously here a Machlaikis. What is a greater reason to consider something Kaddish? Do we look at the fact that it's being brought on the Mizbeach as a carbon is what makes it more Kaddish? Or is it the fact that it was born Kaddish make it more Kaddish? If we look at the way it's brought, then Shlomim are more Kaddish. If we look at how it became Kaddish, then Bechor is more Kaddish. So if that's the case, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what did Abba Yosef ben Destoy mean to teach us? Lamute Baiser, that Meiser is not Mamun Balam. In other words, he's saying that Abba Yosef ben Destoy is teaching us that both Shlomim and Bechor are Mamun Balam, Meiser is not. Why not? For the reason that we just learned. Tanya, b'chad nemeloi sifta, but it's still nimka tam chai, ubamum chai v'shochet. Ma'is b'hemer, it says lo yigoyl, and from lo yigoyl we learned, ene nimka loy chai v'loy shochet, loy tam v'loy bamum. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that all Abba Yosef ben Destoy is coming to exclude is ma'iser, b'chad b'vad kamar. He clearly used the word b'chad b'vad. Isn't that meaning that you could that only Bechor is the only Kachim Kalim, which is Mamun Balam? And how could you say that he includes Shlomim? And says the Gemara, Kasha, it's indeed a question. The Mishnah said, as we have quoted, the Mishnah Daf Tes Amabei said, Nechosim She'ein Bamila, that you're only Chayiv for doing damage if you damage Nechosim She'ein Bamila. And we came to, and we explained that our Mishnah means to say that if somebody damaged Kachim Kalim, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that holds the Mamun Balam, then you'll be held responsible. Says the Gemara, no. Rava wants to be, but that means that we have to explain the Mishnah that it's following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, which is something that the Gemara doesn't want to do. So therefore, Rava Amamai Nechosim She'en B'Me'ila, the chasim she'ein bei din me'ila means something that isn't subject to me'ila. Or my niu, something which belongs to a hedyet that doesn't have any kedusha in it. Says the Gemara v'lisni. If that's what the Mishnah meant to say, why didn't the Mishnah use that wording? That there's a din of hezek when you're mazik something that belongs to a hedyet. Says the Gemara, that indeed is a kasha. Why didn't the Mishnah use a stronger language. So I saw that we know that there's a rule in Shas that when the Gemara has a question, it says to Yufta, it means that there's no answer to the question. But when the Gemara asks a question, it says Kasha, that means there's an answer. What is the reason? So what is the answer? So I saw that there are those to say that when it says, when the Mishnah says Ein Ba Mila, is coming to teach us that that is the way to know if something is Hegdish or not. Even though it would be easier to say the Hegdit, but the Mishnah is teaching us, how do we know if something is Hegdish or not? The way to know is if it's subject to Mila or not. Says the Gemara, till now we've been discussing if the victim was Hegdish. Now the Gemara is going to discuss, what about if the perpetrator was Hegdish? Amar Rabba, Shlomim Shaziku, an animal which is designated as a carbon Shlomim that did damage, the halacha is, Gavim Psaron, we take the meat, of, and it was a tam, and the halacha is that a tam pays Chatzi Nezek, and pays it Migufon, from the animal itself, as we've learned. If the value of the damage exceeds the value of the animal, the max, there's a cap. You pay the value of the animal. When we speak about a carbon, says the Gemara, the way to make that determination is looking at the part of the animal that's going to be eaten after we bring it as a carbon. The part that's being put on the Mizbeach, that part is not part of what's used to pay for the damage. Says the Gemara, Pshita, that's obvious. The halach is emrim the gvoim salki, that the emrim are put on the mizbech to be burnt, so you can't use them to pay damages. Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, what Rabbi Abba is coming to teach us is legoiva mipsarim kenegra miraim, that teach us we can't say that, well, the emrim contributed in making the hezek, and since the emrim contributed in making the hezek, so yes, I can't collect from the emrim, but what I'll do is, I can't collect from the emrim, but I'll use that value from, I have to pay that value. Teaches us, the Gemara, that the emrim, since they're not, they consider that they belong to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so they're not considered a factor in paying that damages. I'll leave the man. Ask the Gemara, what was the Gemara trying to teach us here? Ili with the Rabbanon, Pshita. If it's going to follow the Rabbanon, obviously, Kilek l'shtumi mahai, l'mishtalumi mahai. The Gemara introduces a new factor in this discussion. What's the halacha if you have two partners that their animal did damage, and one partner doesn't have the ability to pay for the entire amount that's obligated? The Rabbanon say, we don't go to the other partner and say, you should have to pay more than your share. Everybody has to pay their share. And via Levi Rav Nosson, if we're going to follow the opinion of Rav Nosson, does Rav Nosson say, if you can't pay from here, you'll pay from the other. And the way the Mefarshim, the Gemara, the way to understand this machlokes is, how do we understand when an animal, let's use that example, an animal that's owned by two partners does damage? How are we going to understand what happened here? Doesn't mean that I, being a partner in this animal, am considered a mazik, and the other partner is considered a mazik, and then there's a separate halacha, how to pay. But that doesn't mean that I'm not a full-fledged mazik. That's Rav Nosson's opinion. And since it doesn't mean that I'm not a full-fledged mazik, I have total responsibility here. And therefore, if my partner is unable to pay his share, I'll have to pay for the entire damage. Or, the other way to understand is that since I only own half the animal, I'm only half a mazik. If I'm only a half a mazik, I don't have to pay for more than half the damages, irrespective of what my partner's situation is. Says the Gemara, Ibai Seima. So now back to our Mishnah. If the Emrim did damage together with the animal, what's what have to do with the other? Ibai Seima Rav Nosson, we could explain it according to Rav Nosson. Ibai Seima, we could explain like the Rabbanon. Ibai Seima Rabbanon, Hani Mili, when did Rabbanon say, Ilek l'shtalumim mehai, l'mishtalumim mehai? That's only when there are two betray goofy, when they're two separate people. For example, a shor and a bor are combining for a hezek. Abachad goofy. Here we're talking about one animal did damage. Motzi amalei. So maybe even the Rabbanan will agree, because Eich de Be'inan, wherever we could take payment for, Mishtolim, we have to take payment for. Bibay Sam Reb Nosson. Hosod Amalei Baal Shor LeBaal HaBor. In the case that we're Shor threw of somebody into a bar, so the Baal Shor could tell the bar, Anor Tor Be'irich Ashkechtei. My Shor I found in your bar. And therefore, it's your bar that did damage. My de Lesle L'shtum Mahaych. And therefore, whatever I can't get from the Baal Shor, I could get from you. The Basa and Emurim are all together. And therefore, since there's Halacha, that only the Basa is taken from, you can't go after the Emurim. Amar Rava, Toida Shazika, the Karma Toida that did Hezek, says the Gemara, Govim Mepsarav and Govim Melachma. The Halacha is that when a carbon Toida is brought, with the carbon toida, the halacha you have to bring 40 chalas. Says the Gemara, the halacha is that when this animal did damage, you only collect the damage from the animal and not from the chalas. Says the Gemara, lechem pshita. If it's a tam, and tam only pays migufoy, the chalas had no part in doing the damage. Answers the Gemara, seif etzuchalei. The chiddush is in the next part. Nizik Eichel Basar, the halacha is that the person who got damaged, he's the one that's going to get the karma tied up. Because as we keep on saying, since we're speaking here about a tam that did damage, since it's the tam that did damage, the halacha is that when a tam does damage, we take megufay. Which means the mazik can now go and give this animal to the nizik, says the Gemara. So that will be the halacha, that the nizik is going to end up eating this carbon, the meat, umeskaper, and the one that brought the carbon, the halacha will be mevi lechem. But Rashi points out the halacha is that you're never allowed to eat not the lechem or the carbon until it's burnt on the mizbeach. So the nizik will have to wait till that is accomplished. Hanami Pshita says the Gemara, what was taught here that isn't obvious? Answers the Gemara, Madatema, Kivin the Lechem Echshir de Zevach, since the Chalas are inherent, important part of this Karmen Taida, Lemelei, maybe the Mazik should be able to tell the Nizik, At Chal Basar, you're eating the meat, Vano, I see lechem, and it's my obligation to bring the challah, then you should bring the challah. You're eating the meat, you should bring the challah. Kamash Malon teaches us the Gemara, the lechem, chiyuv de balamu. The one that brought the carbon has to bring the challah, even though he's never going to end up eating the actual carbon. Says the Mishnah further, nechasim shein shmei bras, shehem shel bnei bris. That the dinim of mazikim only apply by property that belongs to bnei bris. Ask the Gemara, what does it mean? Lemuti mai ilamuti ovikachavim. That the halacha is that that if the victim was an ovikachavim, then there's no the halachas we learn do not apply. Says the Gemara, Tanila, come on, that's an explicit mission we're going to learn on the Aflamed Zayin on a base that says shoshi yisrael shenagach shosh loivikachavim potter. So why did our Mishnah have to say it? Answers the Gemara, ton of Adam Afarish. The way to understand is that our Mishnah says the general rule, and then later on, the Mishnahis give us the detail. The Mishnah said that the obligation is only by Nechasim Meyuchadim. Ask the Gemara, Mutimai, what was meant with Nechasim Meyuchadim? Amar of Yehuda, Lamote Ze'oimah Sharcha Hizik. When we have a situation where there's a dispute that between which shor did the damage and which shor was the victim. Zama shor chizik, zama shor chizik. Everyone says a different animal was the one that did the damage. So since we don't know who is the one that did the damage, you can't obligate somebody unless he could be proven. And this is based on the concept of a moitzi mechaveroi. This is based on the concept of a moitzi chaveroi. All of Haraya. In other words, what's happening here is that two animals were there, and both and the two owners of these two animals are arguing that which animal did the damage. And the Gemara is teaching us that each animal, each one could say the other one is the did the damage. And what is the Chiddush? So as I saw, the Rishonim, the Merami Sada, I mean, it says that the Chiddush is very nice, is as follows. Even though there's a locha, as we just said, Hamaitzi l'chaveira olav haraya, and until you could prove that I owe you something, you can't make me pay, there's still a locha of tfisa, that if you seize something, you can keep it. Here we're learning that here, tfisa is not an option. But ask the Gemara, Hatani l'kamon. This too is taught in the Mishnah later in the Masechta, on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says, Hayishnaim roitfim acha echa, two animals are chasing, that belong to two different people, chasing one animal. Zay Misharcha Hizik, and that is a dispute. This one says it was your animal that did the damage. But Zay Misharcha Hizik, the other one says it was your animal that did the damage. The Lochish name Paturim. Says the Gemara, similarly. Tani Vadim Afarish. Our Mishnah said the general rule, and later on the Masechta, we're going to go into the detail. Misnisan Tana, that what was meant to teach us by Nechasim Miyuchadim, what's meant to teach us with the words of Nechasim Miyuchadim, Leprat L'Nechsei Hefker. Ask the Gemara exactly what does that mean. Hechidami, Ilayma, the Nogach Tur Didon, somebody owns an animal, and his animal damaged Tur the Hefker. Man Tavalei, of course you're not Chayiv. There's nobody that here to ask for payment. Says the Gemara, the Nogach Tur the Hefker, the Tur Didon. That an animal belonging to Hefker damaged our animal, says the Gemara, Leilich Fenesi. Why should the halacha not be that I should be able to take that animal? I should say that I'm taking that animal because it did damage to my animal. Says the Gemara, what happened here was, Shekadim Zachar Ba'achar. Somebody else took ownership of that animal from Hefker, and I can't say, and what the Chiddush here is that we don't say that the animal becomes the Nizik's automatically, that the animal of Hefker that damaged the animal of the Nizik, the moment it does that damage, it becomes his, and if somebody else takes ownership of that animal too little, too late, because it already belongs to the Nizik, no. Until the Nizik actually takes it, it's not his. Says the Gemara, Ravina Amma, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us, that if an animal did damage and then the owner, the mazik, was magdish that animal, and if the owner was mafka the owner, that animal, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that you're not, then the mazik will be off the hook. And the way Reb Chaim Brisker explains what the Gemara means to say is that it's not the same animal. Once it became Hegdash or Hefker, it's not the animal that did damage. And that's why you can't collect from it. Tanya Amehachi, indeed says the Gemara, so do we learn in the Braisa. Yes, I'll kenam Rabbi Yehuda. Afila nagach vachach Hegdash, nagach vachach Hefker, the loch is Potter. Shnemar, v'huad b'balav v'hemis ish, achtei misa v'modadin shavim ke'echad. That it should have belonged to the owner when it did the damage, and when it was decided that it should be paid, So, the Pehul Charifta asks a question. Why? We've been learning that one of the difference between a tam and a mu'ud is that a tam pays megufay, never capped more than the value of the animal. A mu'ud pays min aliyah. But ask the Pehul Charifta, any time a mu'ud causes a large damage, which is exceeds the worth of the axe, what the owner should do is he should make the axe hefker, and by making the axe hefker, he won't have any obligation. So then, of course, we're not saying that this is the right thing to do, but the question is, why can't everybody do this? Says the Gemara, the Imri Bina says that doing this is still is improper. Not only is it considered improper, we're going to learn sugyas about garmi When you make indirect damage, are you held responsible? And he wants to suggest that this is considered a situation of a garmi. And therefore, he says a very big chiddush. He says that what our Gemara says, that higdish v'afkaf hifker, your potter, it's only in a case where you didn't realize that being mafkarit is a way that you're not going to be held responsible. But if you know that by being mafkarit, you're going to be off the hook, and that's why you're doing it, that's called garmi, and therefore it wouldn't help you to not be to be absolved completely from your obligation. So the Gemara just said, but it has to belong to you from when it did the damage, from when it did the damage until it was hamad b'din, through it was paskin, until it was taken to Bezdin. Ask the Gemara, is that all that's required? Gemara din loy binin. Don't we need also that it should belong to you at the time that the animal is sentenced to death? Because the pasuk says, "Ashar yisokel." The Gemara din hu diksev. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ella shetehei misa v'amod b'din or Gemara din shavik echad. It should be under your prop ownership throughout. So the Rishonim have an interesting question: how to understand the halacha? What that the Gemara just taught us. Does the Gemara mean that it has to be yours throughout Britzifus? It has to be out throughout all these periods. And if it wasn't, and if at any time it wasn't yours, you wouldn't be chayif. Or as long as the Gemara identified three milestones, the three milestones the Gemara identified were Misa, Gemardin, and Hamadabadin. And what the Gemara means to say, as long as it's yours, during these three milestones, even if in between it wasn't yours, you wouldn't be chayif. Chutz, b'shus ha-michad islamazik. We said that if it took place, the damage took place in the property of the mazik, then he wouldn't be chayif. Domele, because the mazik could always say, turch b'shus in my body. Why was your animal on my property? And therefore, since it wasn't, since it had no right to be on my property, I will not be held responsible. The Mishnah also said, Chutz Meshus HaMiuchadis LaMazik, Reshus HaNizik VaMazik, Chechizik Chav HaMazik L'Shalom Tashlume Nezek V'Meitev HaOretz. Says the Gemara, what happens if this damage took place in a property that's owned in partnership by the Mazik and the Nizik? Amar Chizda Amar Vimi, Chutz HaShutfim, if the damage took place in a property that's owned by both of them, chayiv the mazik will be chayiv al shein veregel. That the Torah says obiyah b'stei acher. That means it has to be a field that belong, that the Torah is coming to say that a reshus harabim does no shein veregel. But anywhere else, according to Rav Chisda, there is shein veregel. V'akama chutz reshus hamiyachedus l'mazik. The potter, b'rishus, but if it's a property that belongs to the nizik and mazik jointly, there, hizik chav mazik l'shalem, the mazik will be held responsible. For Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar's opinion is, pot al shein v'regel, because he says it has to be a stay acher, that if the mazik owns that property, then it's not, even though he doesn't own it by himself, it's not considered stay acher. Vach kamer. And he says, Rabbi Elazar explains the Mishnah, Hachikamer, Chutz Meshes HaMiuchedes LeMuzik, Mazik, if it's a property that's owned by the Mazik alone, or even if it's a property that's owned by the Nizik and Mazik together, Nami Potter, you won't be held responsible. Chizik Hav HaMazik, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? To teach us Lasuye Karen. The coming is to teach us that even though, according to him, according to Shmuel, Karen was not mentioned in the first Mishnah of our Masechta. So according to Shmuel, when the Mishnah said Shor, it meant Regel. And when it said, and Mava was Shein, and therefore Karen is not mentioned in the Mishnah. So now this Mishnah is coming to teach us the Mazik of Karen. So ask the Gemara, great, Hanich l'Shmuel, that Karen wasn't mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Masechta. That's why this is coming to teach us that Karen is also considered a mazik. But ask the Gemara, El Rav Damatan Ashor. when the Mishnah said the word shor in the first Mishnah. Tana shor, kamili the shor. And therefore, Karen was already taught. So if that's the case, chava mazik lesuyamai, what are these words here to teach us? Says the Gemara, lesuyah hada tana rabbanan. That the Braisa says, kishizik chava mazik lahavi, shay mechinen vashoyel, noisusacha vashachar, then Azika Behemoth Rishuson, that they took upon themselves the responsibility of watching or borrowing an animal, Shatam Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, Umud Mishalim Nezek Shalim. Says the Gemara Nifritza Belaila, if the wall that you put around this animal was broken down by night, so this was an oinus that the animal did the damage, Osha Pritzul Listim, or somebody broke down your fence. It wasn't you that broke it. The Yotzev Azika, and it went out and did damage. That the halacha is that in those situations, it's considered an oinus. And the halacha is that by oinus, the shomer is potter. It's also interesting to point out, Taisa says, that it's coming to teach us only by night is this a fair excuse. I didn't know that the war was breached by, and therefore I won't be held responsible. But if it happened by day, I should be paying attention, and I can't say, well, I wasn't the one that broke it, and I'm not responsible.